Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a fascinating conversation with Jessica Clancy, the author of a new book, The Quest for Family. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Tom. First of all, I am so grateful to be here with you and sharing my story. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you are joining me on the quest.
Well, and actually, it's fascinating because we met remotely on LinkedIn, and here you are in person.
It's amazing, and you've been such a good host to have us in California and get to step into your world, and it's like we're family.
There you
go. So crazy.
Yeah.
So awesome.
So tell us about your journey. Your book is really a chronicle of your life journey from a young girl on to now.
My aunt pegged it a human interest story.
Mm-hmm.
She thought it would be a great story that would help a lot of people and really encourage me to share, as a lot of people on the journey have. There's three parts. So the first part is I did a castle theme, as you'll notice on the cover, hence Hearst
Castle.
And that's
a real castle.
That is a real castle. It's in Texas. It's the Newman Castle. And I just kept seeing castles in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And felt like I wanted to do the book cover. And Mike Newman in Belleville, Texas, actually gave me the rights to use it for my cover.
That's really cool. So it starts out as a young girl with the trials and tribulations of just trying to survive and live and find parental love.
Yes, that's true. And I mirrored the book after the best way to share it was the Dark Ages. I know there's many children and people that carry these dark secrets and the dark ages of the past, subject to the will of others, getting past the past. And a lot of people don't even realize that they harbor these things inside. So my story is really many people's story in a lot of ways. It's an unspoken truth that many people aren't brave enough to share and to conquer. And that's pretty much what my story is about.
But you realize at a very young age that you had a tough road to hoe, didn't you?
I did. It was God's voice. It couldn't have been no other. Just told me, you know, this isn't normal. This isn't right. Like, it's not right, you know? And I just looked in other places, just sought out
what was right. Give us a highlights of, or the lowlights of your home life as a young girl. Your mom and stepdad.
So I'm sure there were different parts that touched you.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom was married three times, and none of them were my biological dad. But I didn't even know that. That was a secret that she kept hidden. So really, I was always kind of an outcast in the family, and there were no siblings. There was no family close by, and it was really like the family was like a hidden secret, you know, what was going on behind closed doors.
So finding your own roots was a long journey, huh?
Yes. I'm so thankful, you know. God speaks to people and they hear his call. And there were several people like, hey, come make cookies with me. Or, you know, rocking on in the rocking chair, just letting me talk to them. And so many people were that person for me, you know, that was the voice of reality and truth and normalcy. And they were just always there at the right time. And I'm so thankful. I wouldn't be where I am today without those normal people who impacted my life in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. talk to us a moment about trailer life.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You go there. Do you remember any of the stories you want to share that impacted you?
It's your story.
It's my story. Yeah. Okay.
It's uncomfortable in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah. It was the trailer was really dark and musty, and there was rolled up cigarettes in the bathroom and scrunched up little grass particles, and the vision in the mind. I just, retreated to my room and would try to color and entertain myself and take my mind away to a different place, away from that.
And at some point, you wound up living with your aunt?
My grandmother and my aunt, who was 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
And so she was my pen pal. She was like a sister I never had from far away.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up going from the East Coast and moving to Kansas. And she came to stay with us for a while. And she saw the struggle. And she came home to Grandma and was a voice. And Grandma said, "Hey, I'm going to come get her." And at that time, I ended up going to CPS for the weekend, and she came and got me, and she wasn't supposed to take me back to the house, but she took me back to the house, and my stepdad said, "I give you permission to get involved with sex, drugs, and rock and roll," as we formed a circle prayer, and I was like, this is so weird,
Throughout your life journey, was that quest not only for family, but for a church family? You, as a young girl, had some real negative interaction with your stepdad. Talk to us about him starting the church and whatnot. Yeah.
So I was actually introduced to God and faith and salvation at a young age through a random babysitter couple. And I didn't really know what, church was, but I knew I had a heavenly father. I had, a invisible friend, I guess you could say, that I would always talk to. And
gave you comfort.
Gave me comfort. And it was always that voice of reason and kind of just, gave me clues, where I would be in my life. And I just followed them. And you can read about some of them in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we had actually went to, a church in Chesapeake, Virginia, Assembly of God Church, and I knew the power was real. They prayed over me, and I was healed from scoliosis, and then my parents wanted to take a step further and have their own church, and I'm like, why are you ruining a good thing? So it went from, a drug abuse neglect to spiritual abuse.
Wow.
And I know a lot of people have been on that path, and
They moved and brought this woman with them, right?
Yes, they did.
She left her husband.
Yes, with her daughter, and they came to the Midwest and lived with us. And they were going to start a church in the Midwest where my second set of grandparents lived.
Mm-hmm.
And the townspeople were very prone to see the ways of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very prone to say that we were oppressed girls. So they were very watchful of my parents. And little did we know as little kids in the community. But it didn't go well for them.
Yeah. Or for you.
No.
In trying to find comfort in a church or church life.
Yeah. So it was really hard to go back to church for many, many, many years.
Let me interrupt for a moment, because you keep asking me what most touched me about your story and your journey. And as I told you this afternoon, it was in spite of these negative experiences that never stopped or hindered your quest to try and find that comfort of a church community that was positive.
Yes.
You never gave up.
Yes. And even if it wasn't in the church walls, like I said, there was always somebody that stepped in, and that was that model, that mentor, that person who helped me get...
There was a couple that were really influential and supportive. Talk about that for a moment.
Yes. So once I came to live with my grandparents, there were two sets of families that had smaller kids, and I met them. I was their babysitter. I was like, wow, they believe in me. Somebody believes in me. And it became they were my parental roles. And to this day, I'm I don't know where I would be without them. I would go to their couch and talk about things and vent and self-discovery and healing. And
but they were really supportive, nurturing for
yes,
you.
Yes, very supportive, yeah. Yes. And when I met my husband, I told my husband, I was like, did you ask them for my permission or your permission, their permission? You go to them. He was like, I went to your dad, which was really an interesting thing because I had just found my dad like 12 years.
Your real dad.
My real biological dad that never, I was a two-night fling. He never knew I was born.
Wow.
So.
And you've maintained a relationship and friendship with him, right?
Yes. Yeah. So when my grandmother, a turn of events going back a minute, when I was in high school and lived with my grandmother, my parents came in town, my mom and stepdad, and asked me to leave when I was 17. And years later, my grandmother came to me and apologized. And I had asked her, I was like, did you ever know my dad? And she remembered his name. She met him like once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
She remembered his name. And I was like, what? So it was like there was forgiveness and there was healing. And I found I had a name. I was like, I have a dad. And I wrote him a letter and he responded. And he came from a Polish family of 10 brothers and sisters. And I had this huge instant family I just never had. They welcomed me with loving arms and it was just amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue on Jessica's quest.
So
you became a hairdresser.
I went to beauty school. So, you know, when I was younger, I had a vision I would cut hair. And my mom had this old cosmetology book. And kids made fun of me. They're like, cosmonaut, cosmonaut, you'll never cut hair. And I was like, yes, I am. I don't know what it means or where I'll do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut hair. And it was really a blessing when I came to live with my grandmother because I was able to take cosmetology in high school. And out of, like, 20 participants out of the whole high school, I got chosen.
And so you got certified by the time you were out of high school.
Yes.
As a licensed legal beautician. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's where I met my best friend that's a character in the book.
Mm-hmm.
She's
Dana.
And she's, and you've gotten to meet her. We've had some good times.
Yeah.
And we're like yin and yang. But yeah, she's like my sister I never had and always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she was really an important balance and support. Has been throughout your life.
Yes. Yeah. She's been one of the stable pieces as well. So
mm-hmm.
I have these two families or like two sets of parents and I got my best friend
mm-hmm.
and yeah.
So again, quest for family.
Yes.
This thematic thread that weaves throughout your entire life.
Yes.
Till today.
Yeah.
At some point, you became a foster parent, right?
Yes. So we had fertility problems, and I had a misdiagnosed tubal pregnancy, and I should have died. I was sent home, still bleeding mm-hmm. internally, and it wasn't until like midnight that day my husband took me to the ER until the next day they actually operated. And all I remember is like after the surgery, waking up and people standing over me, like saying, is she gonna come to? Is she gonna be alive? Like, alive? And I could just hear this voice, like, just rest, my child. And finally, I woke up at like 11:30 p.m. from a 3 o'clock surgery.
Wow.
And, you know, we were told after that we could never have kids. So we did have our son, which was a miracle. And I knew in my heart I wanted him to have a sibling. And I just knew that there was more that God had for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it to the table to my husband. I'm like, I want to foster and adopt. And at this point, you know, we were married, of course. So we got involved through our church. We were part of a pilot program, mm-hmm. and we were able to expedite all the training classes. And yeah, we had three placements, and the final one ended up in adoption with our daughter, who we still have, of course. She's 8 years old. She came to live with us at 15 months.
That's really cool.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you. And you'll have to read about the other foster adopting side of what we went through because it's not a pretty picture to foster and adopt, like some people think.
Yeah,
and
you got rejected at one point, we right?
Did. We did. And, you know, when you feel something in your heart, God places it there. I don't stop easy, and I don't think anybody else should. If you feel that passionate mm-hmm. about something in your heart, I say go for it, because it's there for a reason. And sometimes those mountains we have to cross are part of the journey that help us grow to be who we are. It makes us a better person.
Right. But what's central to Jessica and who you are is giving back and helping others. Even like right now, you're a dietitian and you work in a dialysis facility
yes.
where you help tutor and counsel people about eating healthy and staying alive and whatnot.
Yes.
So everything you do is pretty much helping people.
Yes. And, you know, I want people, I want them to preserve their life in the best way that they can mm-hmm. from the dialysis dietitian standpoint. And I didn't know how to eat. I had to learn how to eat. Mm-hmm. My mom had bad dieting, yo-yo dieting habits. And, you know, so anything, my journey, what I've learned, which is what's in my book, I want to share to help others, to bring them to a higher place. And, you know, if I can give dialysis patients a better quality of life and longer time with their own families and give back, then that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what we're here for.
And again, I learned a lot from you just about dialysis patients. I thought, I kind of knee-jerk assumed they were all older people, middle-aged or older. But you told me stories about people, young high school-age kids presenting with kidney shutdown.
Yeah. I mean, so we can't talk about too many specific cases.
Right,
but yeah,
but you
it
talk
is,
about...
It's becoming a younger disease.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say that has to do with our diet and with...
I think it is diet related. A lot of people are on the go and eating more foods outside of the home mm-hmm. and high sodium diets and not drinking as much water, and the body filters everything, and we have to take care of our bodies and our kidneys, and sometimes genetically these things come up sooner than later. They may already be there,
right.
Kind of like a cancer,
yeah,
but
lurking.
Yeah, lurking in the dark. But mm-hmm. if you can try to, you know, appreciate and take care of your body, fruits and vegetables, and drink your water.
Yeah, some basic.
Yeah, basic.
Fundamentals.
Yeah, basic.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So again, we talked about earlier, part of your quest through life was a connection with God mm-hmm. in your spiritual side and finding a church or mm-hmm. churches that worked for you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that quest.
So our church is amazing. My pastor endorsed my book mm-hmm. and my husband, we are like night and day. I mean, he was conceived in the same house that he left to marry me. So, I mean, he did go to college. So his life was completely opposite of mm-hmm. mine. And, you know, sometimes that can wage against each other, and sometimes that builds you closer. And mm-hmm. the church has really helped us to try and build us closer, to bridge those differences. We first were involved in a Married with Kids class, and we realized we weren't alone, you know, having kids in this struggle, and like how I felt about him and how he felt about me. And we're hearing other people say the same thing. It's like, did they write our story? That really helped our relationship. And then we were able to be a pilot group for fostering and adopting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to be a pilot group for community groups. The church really has big outreach because we're all made to be with each other and together in community, to carry each other's burdens and to pray for one another and support each other. And we were able to be part of a pilot group of doing community Bible study in the home. And we're able to be a part of a pilot group of this Bible study called Reengage. We mm-hmm. helped facilitate it 4 times, and which were smaller little subset groups. And we worked through this Bible study together with other families. And some people had the papers drawn coming to the table and walked away reunited, reengaged again. And some dark things came out even on our own marriage. And my husband felt it was really important to put those in the book, you know, some of his struggles, to help others in return. And it's a different world we live in, and the way that women view men and men view women. And it helped bring some of those things to life and mm-hmm. just to renew and redeem those things, breaking out through the darkness.
Speaking of darkness, looking back at your life quest and the book that you wrote, and what was the hardest parts for you to write and kind of face to yourself and put down on paper?
It was definitely my childhood, definitely. But I knew it had to be shared, and I was very selective to focus on how it impacted me. I wasn't here to blame anybody. I focused on how it impacted me and the things that I did in my life and how it helped me push forward to work further and further away from that. And it brought up a lot of things. And by doing that, I think it also carried me on a stage of healing. And I really hope and feel that I know it will be triggering for some people as they read the book, but I made sure to include like references and like nuggets of wisdom to help just keep nudging people along on their own journey to healing and self-discovery. And
even some really specific, you know, suicide hotline or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, where you, every end of every chapter, you have a resource recommendation for that thematic subject.
Yes. So some of the recommendations I had in there were things that got me through. So there's a bullying. I had a friend that died from bullying, and I really wanted to dedicate like this book to his life. His family doesn't even know that I did that. He's just one symbol of kids that don't survive bullying, and there is a resource, and there's a resource for foster and adopting. There's a resource for counseling. There's a resource for 24-hour prayer. There's a resource to find food, your local food bank, and you know, the things that I struggled through and overcame, there's resources for those. So I want people that may be triggered in those places to find the help they need.
And those are things you didn't know about growing up. Yeah.
Correct.
So a little bit more about the tender, painful side of your story, which you managed to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else comes to mind that you're able to share?
Well, I mean, just I would say I want people that are reading my story to not feel alone. You know, they may think, oh my gosh, I can connect to this. That's what you call that, or it's normal that I'm feeling this way or experiencing this. I'm not alone. And I want them to know that they're not alone, and that through this book, I hope to connect with them and know that they're loved. And, you know, people who get my book, I pray for people that my book touches every day. So if you're reading my book, just know that you're prayed for, and that God will bring healing to you like he did for me. And, I mean, that's really my prayer through this story. So I just want, I want to be that voice for people that experience those things, the voice for many.
Well, I think in addition to your book, The Quest for Family, I envision you going on the road and speaking before groups to share your fascinating life journey tales.
Yeah. I love that vision, and I'm going to hang on to that.
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to share my story with people, and I really want to, some people may read my book and go, this is rubbish. Why is she talking about her childhood? Or, you know, but I want them to feel the pain and look around them. I want them to be aware. I want them to see the need in that single mom that's struggling, or that kid that keeps getting into trouble. Like, call them in and make cookies with them. Like, that might change their life. You know, maybe somebody never made cookies with them. And see that need. Be that neighbor. Be that person.
And you had a neighbor like that.
And I had someone who did that for me. You can be that person. That can be your purpose. That can be your calling. You might think, well, who am I? But little tokens of kindness can change the world, and we're so wrapped up into our own lives and our own worlds that we don't see the needs of others around us, and people are longing for belongingness and connection, and, you know, I want to be that voice to draw awareness, and I want people to see that and give back and help others the same.
How does somebody learn more about Jessica Clancy in The Quest for Family?
My book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads. I have a website, jessicaclancyperseveres.com. I have a YouTube, The Quest for Family. Each chapter is a chapter summary and a movie reel of each section of the book that you can preview. The first six chapters are outlined on Amazon Kindle. So if you're not sure you want to commit and you just want a taste of it, you can view that on Amazon as well.
And you have an Instagram site.
I have an Instagram.
And that's called what?
That is Jessica Clancy Perseveres.
and we met on LinkedIn.
So Tom's influencing me to add my author hat to my LinkedIn now and the title of my book, so I will be updating my LinkedIn site as well.
That's really cool.
Thank you.
Jessica Clancy, it's been so wonderful to hang out with you and Dana. This has been great.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and we've been able to be here a couple of days with you, and it's just been amazing to get to know you and experience you as a person and how much you give back and how you make the world seem like a smaller place, and I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. It just wants to bring me to happy tears. So
very cool. All right, we've been visiting with Jessica Clancy, the author of The Quest for Family. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The Foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundationathearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.